Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, this week, as I approach doing my sermons, I look at all the readings, and then I start writing down things that I see in the readings. And one of the things that was striking me as I did this, life is tough, then we die. Have you ever heard that expression before? Have you ever said that expression before? Well, part of the thing that was striking me as I was reading this, you know, things are never easy, are they? Okay? And if you look at the reading from James, it really deals with temptation. Now, we are in the second Sunday of Lent. And Sundays are in Lent, not of Lent. And I'm going to explain that a little bit. Why do I say it that way, in and not of? Good question, isn't it? Anybody know? Anybody have an idea? Probably good I'm doing this then. It's the time before Easter. All right, what Lent is a celebration of the temptation of Jesus before he went to the cross. Now, we've got two times in the church year where we celebrate the temptation and the loss of Jesus. What are those two? Well, Lent's one, because I just told you that. What's the other one? Advent. Remember when I was talking about why we do the hymns we do at Advent? They're both 40-day commemorations. And what we do is we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross during those two time periods. This one, because he is going to be resurrected. The other one is because he's coming back to us. So that's why both Lent and Advent are very important in the church here. Why? Because we're celebrating what Jesus did on that cross. Going back to what we were talking about, life is tough and then we die. How many of you have also said, you know, God never gives us more than we can handle? Is it in the Bible?
No.
What promise does God make to us in the Bible? That anytime you face difficulty, I will be with you. That's what he says. When, you know, when we saw that online of the ISIS people cutting the throats of those Christians in Mosul, what was it, 20 men? What was the last thing they said? Jesus. So they died with Jesus on their voices. You know, that's the last thing they said. And I thought that was probably one of the most powerful witnesses I've ever seen. I don't know if I could do that. But they didn't fight. They just said Jesus. Well, let's apply that to what we had in our first reading today from Genesis. When we are tempted, is it always easier to take the easier road? Well, sure it is. I mean, that's human nature. We don't want confrontation. Look at what happened here. We have Abraham and Isaac. And God tells Abraham to sacrifice his son. Okay, how many of you have had children? Yeah. Could you sacrifice your children? I couldn't either. But you got to have belief and faith, don't you, to do that? All right, you got to have belief in God and faith in him. Did Abraham have that? Okay, but he was going to be faithful to God and following through with what he was told. So he went, you know, and went up on the mountain. And one of the things I found very interesting in this is on the third day, how many of you caught that? In the reading in Genesis. On the third day. What else happened on the third day? Okay, so we have Isaac being put on the fire where Abraham told him the fire and the knife. And he's getting ready to sacrifice his son. And the angel of the Lord comes up and says, wait! Okay. You know, it had exclamation marks behind it. Can't you imagine that happened? You know, you can see him popping back like that. But his faith was rewarded and his belief was rewarded. You know, now why God put him through that, I don't know. But his son was resurrected on that third day because of what happened. You know, it's many times, one of my friends said, if you look in the Old Testament for Christ, he's there all the time. Is this a story of the Christ? I think so. I think that's part of that explanation. You know, here's what it said. This is in the Psalms. I love this part. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Okay? Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast, love and faithfulness, for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. If he wants us to be steadfast and faithful to him, is he steadfast and faithful to us? Of course he is. Of course he is. It goes both ways. And remember, if you give back to the Lord, he gives back to you tenfold. All right, look at James, and James is the purpose. Now, we've been studying the book of James on Wednesday mornings, and there's a lot of truth in the book of James. And for those of you who haven't been studying with us, the reason it's at the end of the Bible is both Luther and the person who put together the Bible, Eusebius, Eusebius, however you want to pronounce it, said, we're not sure this should be in the Bible. And Luther was very upset about the works righteousness that was in the beginning. However, you get to chapter 4, chapter 5 in James, and all of a sudden becomes saved by grace through faith. And one of these days, I will actually do a sermon on that will lead you through why that's the case, but not today. But here's what James said to us. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Remain steadfast under trial, for he has stood the test. Did Jesus stand the test in the wilderness? Yes. I mean, it would have been very easy for him, like the devil told him, take that rock and turn it into bread. No, I'm not. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. Does God tempt you? No, it's the other way, other side. Satan is the one who tempts you, because he wants you to turn from God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Boy, that's some pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? Okay, now we've been dealing a lot right now with the first commandment, which is have no other gods before me. Your desire can turn into an idol. It can turn into a god, and you can be tempted by that desire to follow that god instead of Jesus, right? And that's what we fight against every day in our lives. It's easier to take that low road. It's harder to climb that mountain. You know, my theme for Lent this year is climbing the mountains of Lent, because Jesus had to climb that tree, right? And boy, that had to be tough. And so we are learning about the mountains we have to climb as Christians. And so we'll have that at 11:15 on Wednesday. All right, I think I need to preach on this. This is what's going on in the real world. School shootings. Isn't it awful? You know, one of the things that I saw, and I thought, oh, this makes no sense. It makes a lot of sense. The sheriff of Broward County came on, and he said, folks, this is not a gun control issue. This is an American cultural issue. He said, we buy video games for our children that do nothing but deal with blood and gore, murder, and everything is awful. And then turn off the game, turn it back on, everybody's there happy and starts all over again. And so the children are anesthetized to that kind of thing. Oh, that's all right, it just happens. You know, they are not taught then to value human life. You know, so we're looking at this situation where because of that, you know, we are raising a generation of children. You know, I had somebody argue with me online. They sent me a private message. Well, what about when we were growing up with Wile E. Coyote? All right, so you're going to equate Wile E. Coyote blowing up every time he's after the Roadrunner with that scene in Fast and Furious, I don't know which one it is, where the guy stomped a prostitute to death. I don't think the two relate. Do you? But yet, is that what we're doing with this generation of kids? Now, I'm talking to you. You've raised your kids. You know what I'm talking about. I'm preaching to the choir here. But I experienced this when I was teaching in the Omaha Public Schools. I had a school I was teaching elementary at Jefferson Elementary, which was bussed in. We had kids come from the Druid Hill, which is a black neighborhood, come in. And I had a 60-piece band, almost all black, great kids. In fact, my first three clarinets ended up all being running backs for major universities, Nebraska, Kansas State, University of Kansas. You know, and these guys went after each other. By the end of the year, they were playing clarinet probably on a freshman in high school level because they were always challenging. You know, every time they did it, I said, all right, do this. And they'd go, come back and do it. You know, it was one of those things, you know, how do I give them enough stuff to keep them going? First concert. Out of that 60, we had about 22, 23 students. And I talked to a couple of parents. I said, what's going on? He said, well, you got to realize that other parents don't care. Okay. So we set up a thing with the parents who are there to bring the rest of the kids. The second concert, we had them all there. First time that had ever happened at this school. Kids cared, parents didn't. I have friends teaching OPS right now, and he was wailing about the fact with elementary students, he's got kids coming to school, and it's been cold. I mean, for those of you who grew up in the eastern part, northeast, you know, it can get down, 20 below zero. They've had kids walking to school in Omaha Public Schools at 20 below zero with blankets wrapped around them because they don't have a winter coat. And up in that part of the country, winter coats are free. Parents just don't care. So if the parents don't care, how do you combat video games like that? I mean, I enjoy video games. I mean, I used to play Tomb Raider with my son all the time. But the thing is, I didn't play the ones that are bloody and gutty and that kind of thing. Because that, we sat down and we talked about that. But we look about this, and we're talking about temptation. The temptation is to allow them to play those games. Yes? Why? Because the temptation is for the parent then to let the kid go so they don't have to work at being a parent. That becomes a babysitter. An electronic babysitter. Well, it keeps them out of your hair for a while. You know, those kids have never experienced going out and starting to play baseball in the morning on a summer day, and you keep the game going all day long, and you come in when the streetlights went on for dinner. Okay, that's how I grew up. Okay, and that's why we ended up playing pretty good baseball. How many of those kids do that today? And you can't because you don't know if your child's going to be safe. And so why is that into our culture? So I agree with the sheriff who's talking about what we're facing right now is a cultural problem, not a gun control problem. Folks, you know, many times I've told you, I'm not going to preach a lot about what's in the civil world, but I think this one's important enough I need to. But I think our scripture today goes right along with it. When we're talking about temptation, isn't this temptation the temptation to allow the kids to play the games? You know, and that's what I think. Sometimes a parent's got to stand up and be a parent. You know, Psalm 25 is talking about God, in you I trust. Do we trust in God the same way? Are we like Luther and we put our foot down and said, no, here I stand, I can do no other? I don't think so. You know, even for us, it's expediency. Well, if somebody wouldn't invite me, that kind of thing. Last night, we had a meeting here of the LGBT community, and I have never seen a president of an organization act the way the president did last night here. And that's something that we are going to have to address, because it affects all of us, too. But what do you do when you have evil in your midst? Do you allow it to go on, or do you confront it? You got to confront it, okay? Because otherwise, are we doing our Christian duty? I think, you know, it boils down to either you do it or you don't do it. You know, when I was at the seminary, and I received that call to serve the Lord, do you think I wanted to have a student debt of $160,000? No, especially when you become an old fart like me. You know. Did Pastor say that in his sermon? Yeah. You know, but the thing is, the Lord will provide. And what is happening is that I'm making an income-based repayment for 10 years, and then they write off the rest. Well, my income-based repayment's only about $180 a month, and I have $800 a month of interest coming in. But I know they're going to write it off. You know, but that enabled me to stand here today. So no matter what happens, there's always something positive that comes out of that. When we face this, do you think Peggy Sue and I fought that to stand up for the Lord? Well, we talked a lot of it, but in the end we said, no, we're going to stand up for it. You know, all of these things I'm talking about today, I think, can be put in faith and trust, which leads us to belief. Okay? Because if we don't believe, if we don't have faith in the Lord, do we trust in the Lord? I don't think so. You know, because it comes down to service. If we have faith, if we trust, if we believe, then we want to be in service to Jesus, right? Does that mean that that service is always easy? No, sometimes it's hard. You know, when Jesus had the miracle of his baptism, and by the way, I want to thank Sarah Gilbert right now. She found our logo. We have a beautiful logo we use for the church, which is blue and a lighter blue that's got Christ from the back in silhouette with the arms up with the dove descending on him from his baptism. And that, I think, is one of the most beautiful statements of the gospel without words. And so we are going to be using our logo as much as possible. In fact, I'm going to have some shirts made up with that logo, and we can talk about that later. But part of the thing is, folks, when Jesus had that happen, immediately, what happened after that? He was sent to the wilderness to be tempted and to stand up for what he believed. That would be tough, wouldn't it? I think so, too. One of the things it talks about at the end of the gospel is that we are the first fruits of his cross. What does that mean? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? First fruits. Okay? When you plant that seed, it grows and you have fruit. And usually that first fruit is the sweetest, isn't it? And so when that seed is planted in you and it begins to grow and it flowers and it has that fruit that sets on it, that's when our Christianity is in full bloom. Does that make sense? I think so. I mean, I was thinking about that. What does it mean for us? That seed. What a blessing that seed is. the last verse of our gospel reading, I think, brings us home. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Pretty simple, isn't it? Repent and believe in the gospel. Let us pray. Jesus, our Lord, thank you for your gift of the gospel. Help us to repent, trust, and believe in the salvation you earned for us on the cross. In your name we pray. Amen.